Movie Mavericks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Movie Mavericks, speaking of fucking long, uncut European cocks.
The Movie Mavericks Podcast.
Now for your hosts, Jason and Trevor.
I can't wait.
Hey now, everybody. Welcome to episode 259 of the Movie Mavericks Podcast. Yes, this is the episode Kim Jong-un did not want you to hear, but we're going to put it out anyways. I'm Trevor Anderson. I'm going to send you over to Jason Rugard. He's got a rundown for us.
Please hack us. Please, we invite you to hack us.
No,
please.
Don't.
No, 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 Kimmy.
Please, it will take absolutely nothing to hack us, so please don't. We have no protection whatsoever.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan could come out and take us down right now. Yeah, we don't roll with protection over here. So we're on episode 259. If you don't know how we do it like this. The box office ace prediction game is heading into another. Yeah, we do. Oh, baby, I like it raw.
No protection.
Wow. We have really got off on the wrong foot tonight, haven't we? Let's start over again. My name is Jason. This is Trevor. We are good boys. And on the box office ace prediction game, The Woman in Black 2 is coming out, if you didn't know, because the first one was such a world beater that we need a sequel. Yeah, and we'll be talking about news. Yeah, I like it, right? Thank God. 2015 started with a bang. The Interview takes in $15 million on video on demand. The Wolf of Wall Street tops the list of most pirated films of 2014, even though it was released in 2013. Go figure. And we'll be running down our list of best and worst films of 2014. Our reviews are in for The Interview, as well as Trevor caught with the. I mean, I'm going to get this out tonight. I swear to God, we are going to do this if hell or high water comes. You threw me off with the Kimmy Young preference.
Kimmy Seriously. Young?
Kimmy Young.
Just keep going. Just keep rolling with it. We're good.
Oh, yeah. We're gonna make this nice and smooth. You're going to be thinking about Raw Dog in here. So we got the November Man, Entourage trailer, Focus, and Alien Outpost. We did it. We got through it. Didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it good for you, too?
Oh, yeah. All right. Let's play the game.
Four plays over.
It's not a question of enough, pal. It's a zero-sum game. Somebody wins, somebody loses.
Let's play the HSX.com box office prediction game.
Yes, yes, yeah. There's no starting over tonight.
Doozy.
No starting over tonight.
What a doozy. Hopefully you're not joining us on 259.
The Woman in Black dose. It looks like a real deuce. I don't understand this, but she's coming out. It's January, right? So this is kind of a horror month now, all of a sudden.
Are you calling The Woman in Black a horror?
Yeah. That's what this is about, right?
I thought she was a good girl.
I thought Daniel Radcliffe really gave it good to her in the first one.
Is he back in this one?
No, he's not, no.
Yeah, they couldn't secure him, huh?
They couldn't get him back, yeah. So what do you think? I don't know.
I mean, I think this opens up with like $6 million. I'm going to go 6.8 for the weekend. This gets lost.
Yeah, hell yeah, for sure, right? I mean, with Hunger Games still out there and... it's surprisingly making money still. Who's going to see Woman in Black, too? No one.
I'm going to go Daniel Radcliffe.
I'm going to go even lower. I'm going to go 5 million.
I think the Radcliffe fans are sitting this one out.
Well, he's not in this one. They set the first one out, really. Well, no, the first one was kind of a minor hit.
It was a minor hit compared to
it wasn't very good.
I never saw it. You see it? Yeah, I never saw it.
It was pointless, and it wasn't really very scary. And this one, I still don't. I don't know why we need a second one.
So you're going 5, I'm going 6.8, and we're done with the box office predictions for the beginning of the year. Yeah. But this is a fresh new start and a fresh new game. So get over to Box Office Ace and play alongside Trevor and I and two-year reigning champ Joe over there. He's done it again. Got to concede victory to Joe on this year. And but hey, you could be the one that unseats him or gives us a run for our money. So get over to Box Office Ace and join in the fun. Mm-hmm. Good old times. Okay, so The Interview, which I saw over the weekend, we'll get to that a little bit later, but it did about 2.8 million estimated in its 331 runs across the nation, and it did significantly more on video on demand, home video platforms. This was available on Google Play, YouTube, and finally on iTunes as of today, Sunday, as we record this. So this take does not include the iTunes numbers, which will be rolling in, but they're saying it made about $15 million over the weekend. That is, I mean, if you look at that $18 million combined with the theatrical, they only had this pegged about $20 million to $25 million for the first 4 days in a theatrical run. Is this, I mean, I think it's
well, but
successful.
We don't know what that money's from, right? This is clearly this is going to earn less than it could have had it had a normal release. So successful, yeah, sure. But now, have you eaten into? You've already, you know, you're done with your home video rollout. So there's nothing to move to after this release, right? So this is the money it's going to make, and it's pretty much done. And I don't think this movie would have had legs anyways, but, you know, at least they would have had a theatrical rollout. Yeah, they would have made some money there, and then they could have had a home video rollout. So I guess this is why you don't do that.
This was instantly available on pirating sites, too, after it was made.
They screwed up, and people were able to... You know, share the downloads, download them complete, get it completely unprotected as we like. So they just there's nothing uninteresting about this release, is there? It's just one thing after the next, one debacle run, the next screw up that they've done. It's insane. And let's talk about the guy that spent $650 in tickets and now expects a refund.
Let's talk about a debacle. Yeah, what's going on with this jerk off?
This moron was looking around and decided that the hot thing to do right now would be to scalp tickets to go see the interview, and he got screwed right by the online release. He bought $650 worth of tickets before they announced that, thinking he'd be able to scalp them online, and of course he's not getting his money back.
Yeah, but the best part is that he tried to fight this, right? He tried to say owed him a refund.
Said the theater owed him a refund. Said that it said on their website that the theater doesn't have a website, but he bought the tickets through movietickets.com. This, of course, is a special event. Everyone knew, anyone watching the news knew that this release was going to be under a special event, and so they won't refund the ticket. So this guy spent $650 of that of the 1 million opening goes to this guy. So he should at least get a plaque or something from Sony, right? He should get something.
He should get a hand job from Seth
Rogen. Really helped
him
out.
More than that. My goodness, that's hilarious, actually. Because I mean, it was available for the very low price of $5.99, which surprised me. You could own it for $14.99, but rent it for $5.99. I thought this would be much more expensive, but we'll talk about it, I guess, later, movie-wise. But this did turn out to be a somewhat word-of-mouth video hit because everyone I know had seen it by the end of the weekend. So,
they made it so easy.
Yeah, exactly. Which was part of the great maneuver and very affordable too. Yeah. I watched this on Christmas Eve, and when the theaters closed at 7:45, and we wanted something to watch, and it was ideal, to be honest with you. It was nice to be able to watch something that normally you'd be in a theater watching on a Christmas Eve or a Christmas Day, let's say, at full price, and be able to just kind of huddle up and watch it at home. So I applaud the availability of it. I really like that. So the most pirated movies of 2014 have been revealed, and the number one most pirated movie of the year is Wolf of Wall Street with over 30 million downloads worldwide.
Which is nuts.
That's unbelievable. I mean, you equate that to at least $5 in tickets per ticket. You know, that's $150 million mm-hmm. that lost in revenue. That's when you realize how much money is being lost per movie. And a lot of these movies, I mean, most movies that top this list are from 2013. How strange is that? You know, it's not a lot of movies that have happened from this year.
Well, there's one for even from 1987.
Which is great, right? Yeah, what is that? What is that bad boy?
RoboCop. Well, they've joined the new one and the old one together on this list to go into the number third spot, which is 29 million. I mean, top four are all basically 30 million.
Unbelievable.
Stone throws away from each other. But yeah, so I guess the RoboCop made people want to watch the original again. So at least there's that little tidbit
about
of information.
18 million times, which is
so that's almost half of, yeah. Or actually more than half than the combined number here. So,
Well, most of these are fairly surprising. You know, you don't expect Frozen to top this list or even
Oscar
bait,
you do.
Such as,
you don't expect
I was surprised.
It? Really?
I would expect
this shit.
The Hobbit, doesn't surprise. Gravity, Thor, Captain America, X-Men, those don't surprise. But things like Lone Survivor, Captain Phillips, even Edge of Tomorrow, which really could have used that extra ticket sales to help it, possibly spring forth a little bit better franchise style. But American Hustle is surprising that it's on this. 12 Years a Slave is even more surprising to me. But
why?
If you look at something like movies. Legends of Hercules, it was downloaded more than it sold tickets in the theater.
I know.
And that's unbelievable.
But that's, I mean, it does make sense in that sense, because you just, how many people are going to want to pay to go see it? No one, right?
Well, apparently 25 million people don't want to pay to, but will still watch it.
Well, that's what I mean. That's definitely something, I mean, there are always those on these lists that where you understand. You're like, yeah, I get it. Those are people not willing to pay.
I guess the whole list
of people not willing to pay, but
it sold 25 million tickets. It had been $100 million grocer. Okay, I mean, Rennie Harlan somewhere right now, like, you see, I told you that people wanted to see this movie.
Yeah, close to 200 million.
I think that Kellan Lutz is somewhere downloading the shit out of this movie over and over and over.
It's just him.
It is him. It is him. Captain Phillips also makes an appearance on this list, as does the biblical epic Noah. X-Men is on here, which is no surprise, but
it's just
Divergent
movies.
Is also on here. So, yeah, it's one of the big ones.
So is The Hunger Games. So.
Yeah, which...
They're just all on here.
All right, so let's move on to our topic, our discussion of the night, which is the best and worst films of 2014, in our humble opinion, of course.
We haven't seen everything, so cut us a break at that much, but I've seen a lot as well.
Yeah, I mean, this happened to us last year. You know, when I saw Wolf of Wall Street, I said, well, this would have been on my top 10 if I had seen it in time. So
yeah. There
are things that will be released.
Are you kidding me? There's
looking forward to.
I'm trying to find movies to put on my best of list, and I'm thinking, oh, I saw that this year. No, that was from last year, though. But I saw it this year, so I didn't put it on the list, but there was a lot of that happening to me.
Yeah, in a lot of things. Yeah, exactly. So I know that Boyhood and Birdman will probably be making an appearance on here too. So there'll be some reshuffling. But as of year end, as of what we've seen, we're going through this right now. So let's start off with best or the worst. What do you want to do? Flip a coin.
Let's do the worst first.
Okay. All right. Let's start at the 10th worst and work our way down to the worst film
of
2014. Ta-ta-da. What do you got in the 10th spot?
Number 10, I got Let's Be Cops.
Can't argue
that. I couldn't even finish it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, bad.
In the 10th spot for me, I have Transformers 4, which was the worst entry in...
But only 10th, huh?
The end series. Yeah, only number 10
I can't believe...
I'm prepared
for what's coming ahead, yeah.
Yes,
that's
be
number
prepared.
10.
Good,
it's like, holy shit. It's getting worse than that.
Well, I was... so disappointed because that was to me such a come down from the third one, which was great,
and a lot of hype, you know, considering Wahlberg and Bay's back. You just expected better. Yeah.
All right. For them? Nine.
My number 9 is That Awkward Moment, which
that was a bad
one. Was so awkward. Yeah, no good.
And there was a lot of moments. It was a long movie, too. It was like 100 minutes for a bad.
There were a lot of moments. Well, it was the same movie twice, because you had Zac Efron and the other kid. What's his name?
Miles Teller,
yeah. Thank you. But doing the same thing, being the same person. I got to watch the same fucking movie twice.
Never really understood in that movie why those guys were so mad at each other. It was just they had to be mad at each other to further the movie.
They just had to, yeah. Bad, bad, bad movie.
All right, number 9 for me is Vampire Academy, a very bad young adult novel adaptation. This is bad. Although the lead actress is a cutie, and I like her screen presence. I'd like to see her do a little bit more work. But this was really a misbegotten movie by the team that did Mean Girls and Heathers. A lot of talent behind it, very little payoff. Terrible movie.
But was it? You say it's the team. What does that mean? It was like a person involved?
Well, I think it was the director of Mean Girls and the writer.
The hairdresser. Yeah.
Exactly. Somebody's cousin that knew somebody that made this movie.
Yeah. All right. Number 8. You want to go first?
I have The November Man, the 8th spot. I really dislike this movie.
Wow.
I wanted to like it, and this is our boy Jai Courtney popping up once again.
No, he's not in November Man.
Wasn't he the protege? Was he not?
No,
No. I'm not mixing up my revenge throw.
But it might as well have been.
It could have been. It should have been, put it like that. He missed an opportunity there. He was off doing something, I'm sure. But to me, this was a non-starter as far as franchises go. I really dislike this movie intensely.
All right. Well, my number 8 is RoboCop, which just sucked.
I disagree with you on that. It really did suck, didn't it?
Yeah. Big letdown.
It just sucked.
It could have been awesome. RoboCop's awesome. Even the third RoboCop, which I thought sucked until I saw this one.
It gives you new appreciation on what sucking is. The funny thing is you say that. I've actually watched RoboCop 3 on cable since then and was like, this isn't as fucking, even with the little kid running around and reprogramming it at 209. It's not as bad.
When you can make a better miniseries than a movie, you got a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another non-starter as far as franchises go. All right, 7th spot for me is Occupied by The Other Woman, an absolutely dreadful so-called romantic comedy that positions itself
that
as
was
kind
the Cameron
of a female
Diaz
power
one, right?
movie. Yeah, but is really void of anything that is complimentary towards women. I mean, I thought this was a very one-note, predictable comedy, and I like all the women involved in this. Diaz, the other gal, and then Kate Upton. I mean, who doesn't like to look at that? So, but the movie itself is really, really bad, and directed by Cassavetes, who did The Notebook and some other, you know, decent work. So, a movie that made a lot of money, but was really poorly done. One of the worst of the year.
All right, my number 7 is Godzilla.
Yes.
Enough said. I really don't feel like I have to say much about these. I just mentioned the name, and I'm pretty much done, right? Everyone knows Godzilla sucked. Like, it was horrible. Just nothing. He wasn't even on screen. He wasn't even cool, right? They cut away from him all the time. They're like, okay, it's about to fight, and let's cut back to... might as well have been Jai Courtney.
It wasn't?
Yeah, really.
Jai Courtney. I thought he was even in Need for Speed this year. I'm not sure. I thought he was everywhere. Okay, I got number 6, A Million Ways to Die, the really misbegotten Seth MacFarlane so-called comedy. This thing played well for about 4 minutes and then died on the screen for the remaining 96. Couldn't wait for this thing to be done, and it just went on and on and on. The definition of a one-note or one-joke comedy.
Well, I thought too many jokes, but my number 6 is Transcendence. Enough said again, I think.
Yeah, really. Our list
really
is a
shitty movie,
off,
right? Oh, no, yeah. They're not, yeah.
It's just all right. I mean, no one could really debate that these movies all sucked that we're talking about. Yeah, here. Do. So the best of list is debatable, but this is not.
I'll go to number 5 because I had A Million Ways to Die in the West in my number 5th spot.
All right, for number 5 for me, I had Godzilla, which you mentioned earlier, and I agree with all the things you said about this. This was, to me, the worst of the so-called blockbusters of the year. Transformers 4 was close, but this was absolutely dreadful.
This is the first year, really. I mean, 3 of these movies on my list. A Million Ways to Die in the West is one. Let's Be Cops is another, and we'll get to the third. But 3 movies, and this never happens. And it happened 3 times to me this year. I did not finish watching them. I never watch half a movie. 3 times it happened.
And those movies that you speak of, I saw these all in the theater, and I wanted to leave.
That's probably the only reason
before,
I know.
Well, I
would have left Transformers if I had the shot, but I saw that in theaters. My number 4 is, I'm sure, up in your list somewhere, is Blended, the horrible Adam Sandler catastrophe.
Yes, it is all the things you just mentioned, isn't it?
It really leads him to be. It's funny, you see all the time, you see Adam Sandler, the most overpaid actor, and you think, yeah, you're making shit like Blended. You know, yeah.
Blended was absolutely horrid. It will be making an appearance here at all. Expand upon it further, but this is, I agree with you on that. I think you said it was a debacle, it's a disaster, it's horrendous. It's epic.
All right. What's your number 4?
Number 4 for me is I, Frankenstein. Another franchise non-starter, Aaron Eckhart appearing as a modern-day Frankenstein creature who's half detective, half savior, half vigilante, half superhero. This guy has so many halves. he's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. What the fuck was going on in this movie? This thing was so confused from the jump that within 3 minutes I was so mixed up in backstory and who was fighting who and what guys. I was doing way too much work for what this movie was giving me.
I had it in my honorable mentions. It didn't make my list. I don't think it's that bad, but then again, I watch a lot of really bad shit just like that, so I feel like I was more forgiving towards it, but it's really something that I would just throw away. I have no care for it, so.
You forgot it was even, I had to look at the list and be like, oh yeah, I forgot that was released.
Yeah, you know, it's not good January. In any way, yeah.
And if you think I'm bullshitting, it just hit Netflix, so check it out for yourself.
It is streaming, Yeah, if you make it through the prologue and just the fucking first act, you're a hero.
But that's good because then it changes every 10 minutes therefore after.
Every act is different. Yes.
Yeah. So you'll find something you like or dislike.
It's an amazing movie, really. Can we sell it even more?
Yeah. It did. Nobody saw it anyways.
Nah. All right.
I'll go number three. Number three for me, worst top three, number three is Devil's Due. Found footage horror film from last January. Didn't make much of a dent at the box office, but it was really bad. This movie was not pleasant in any way. The characters were not likable, and the story was just drawn out and predictable. Another coffin in the found footage genre, or nailed the coffin, excuse me.
Awesome. My number three is a movie that I had hopes for, that I didn't have hopes for, and that I had hopes for. It's Transformers. They just botched that thing so bad, I thought. Especially, it's Transformers Age of Extinction. The Dinobots are barely in it, and they're handled with zero care whatsoever. It just, that to me was the biggest, you know, paycheck cash that I've ever seen in my life from everyone involved.
Yeah, it's exactly what it felt like, too. And if you know, I was talking to you off air about this, that if you go back and watch some of the other ones, there is a flow to them where this one is so herky-jerky that 45 minutes in, it feels like an hour and a half, and feels like 2.5. And by the time it's done, it's assaulted. It's beautiful to look at in scenes. I mean, the artistry is there, but you need more than a collection of shots to hold your interest. And I thought that Transformers 4 really proved all the Bay naysayers right in a lot of ways. You know, things that they say about him. He didn't write the movie, granted, but you know, there's a lot of his touches that are not working in that movie. All right, which got in the second spot?
I have the third movie that I did not make it through, which was Anchorman 2.
Oh, wow. Anchorman 2 was bad.
Yeah. I did not like it.
You know what the thing about
I love the first one, too.
Is that I've seen it now a couple times on – just in short increments on cable or whatnot. And in small bursts, it's not bad. But as a whole,
it's almost
insufferable.
When you look through especially my list, you know, A Million Ways to Die in the West, comedies that have failed, Let's Be Cops, in my opinion, you know, Blended. These comedies that failed are so overcomplicated that it's just ridiculous. Like, there's just too much happening in them. And Anchorman 2 is one of those. There's just so much going on. There's never a chance to rest. There's never a chance for an actual story to develop. You know, it's just, I don't know. I didn't like the characters, even, which is, they're already established. How can that be? I don't know.
Well, if you're not a fan of overcomplicated comedies, then you must have loved the undercomplicated simplicity of my number two pick, which is Haunted House 2.
Oh.
A terrible follow-up comedy that was really just a ripoff of everything that was successful, and I really liked the first one. This one, even with the presence of Cedric the Entertainer, who stole some scenes, and an epilogue and preface that was pretty funny, but everything else was just really bad.
I'm going to agree with you because it is my number one pick. It is horrendous. I hated Haunted House 2. I did not like the first one. But this one makes the first one look like fucking Shakespeare. Just, it does. It's one of those. It truly does, man. That first one, I have a new respect for. I'm like, well, at least you had something there to work with. This one is just totally. Let's just cash in.
Oh man, so that was your number one pick of the year, huh? Worst movie of the year?
Easily. It's your number two.
It is my number two, because my number one was further down on your list, but the worst movie, in my opinion, of 2014, the most unsufferable son of a bitch I had to sit through this year, was Blended. This fucking thing was so bad, and I stuck up for Sandler. I sat through Jack and Jill and didn't really mind it all that much. I like That's My Boy. Nicky.
Watching Blended makes you wish you were watching Jack and Jill, which is horrible to say, but it's true.
That's horrendous. Nobody should be wishing they watching horror. I mean, I'd rather watch Anger Management on a loop than watch Blended. I mean, this is fucking terrible, man. It's for all the reasons you said, and then about 90 more that I can come up with. Everything from the timing to the writing to the filmmaking. It's lazy. It's check cashing. It's once again, like I said about Bay, it's all the things that the naysayers of Sandler. Are they proves them right? You know what I mean? Like all the people that talk shit, you're absolutely right. You can't defend this movie
because it's almost like they don't have the jump. People feel like if this year proves anything, is that people feel like they don't have to do anything to get your money, right? For you to buy a ticket, literally is they don't have to do shit. You'll just buy the fucking ticket, right? That's what they think. And I think we proved them pretty well wrong this year. Do you have any? You want to go through your honorable mentions? I can list them really quickly.
Dishonorable mentions? All right. Well,
I got Tammy.
Go ahead.
What do you got?
I got Tammy. Sin City. Just because it was such a disappointment.
I struggled with putting that on here or not. I ultimately didn't, but yeah, might as well, right?
It wasn't the worst.
Throw it on the fire,
it's
too.
It's such a disappointment. Yeah.
It was. It's kind of useless.
Okay. I agree with you on RoboCop. I also have.
I got The Giver, which was horrible.
I have The Taker.
Yeah, no, you don't. You don't want either one. They're used up. And the last one I had was Sex Tape, and I mentioned I Frankenstein was on there earlier.
That's right. You didn't care for Sex Tape at all. To me, that was a middle ground one. My dishonorable mention list goes to Transcendence, which you mentioned, and then another one, which I could have switched out for I Frankenstein, but I find this to be a little bit more of a guilty pleasure, but still I cannot defend it, is The Legend of Hercules. This was that Kellan Lutz. 25 million people downloaded it, so I can't be alone in seeing it, but this was a really underwhelming 3D spectacle that made a minor dent in box offices for a weekend a year ago.
Well, they thought they were going to see The Rock.
That one wasn't much better, though. Let's be honest here. I mean, that still had its problems, too. I mean, we had a lot of
that one. Well, I haven't seen the other one, but I'm sure it's
Pompeii.
Better than that.
Pompeii could have easily made this list.
Pompeii looks stupid.
Yeah, it's not very good.
Yeah. Fuck that movie.
All right, so moving on to the best. Actually, let's take a break.
The best.
Can we take a quick break?
Sure, yeah.
The best around.
Yeah, I know. I'm the best. All right.
This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
And that is why the resurrection themes present in Pulp Fiction elevate the film above... I'm sorry, Pat, what is it? Well, Pat, as interesting as it is to hear you prattle on about Tarantino again, do you think maybe we should stop talking to ourselves? Well, can you think of an alternative? As a matter of fact, Pat, I can. What if we spoke with other bloggers about the world of film and film writing? We could work with the large association of movie blogs, the internet's premier film blog directory. Go on. And what better place for Lamb members to hang out but a pasture? We can call it the Film Pasture. Okay, so we'll work on the name. The Film Pasture, a new podcast from the large association of movie blogs, available in iTunes.
All right. That was great.
All right, so let's count
now
down
on to the best.
Top 10, yeah. So what's your number 10?
My number 10 is going to be the Zach Braff sequel-ish Wish I Was Here, which I quite like for a little indie movie. Yeah,
that's a solid little pick you got there.
Oh,
my 10
you.
Of the year is a little sentimental romantic type movie. I guess not too romantic, but it is sentimental. It's Draft Day. I'm a sucker for this kind of stuff. I really was won over by this. Didn't expect much from it, but thought Costner was great in it, and overcame some bumps, but really just made enough of a dent to make it in the top 10 for me for the year.
Okay, my number 9 is, a bit of a cheat. Not really. It's a movie that came out the beginning of last year, Labor Day, the Jason Reitman movie, which I thought was pretty good.
I want to see that. Yeah, I got that on my list still. I forgot that even came out. Wow. Nice, nice there, slipping that one in. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
All right. My number nine of the year is The Expendables 3, and I'm going to get a lot of shit about this, I know, but I'm going to tell you all to watch it. I know Joe Giuliano out there said over the weekend that he watched it and he had to agree with you and I. I don't know what part he was agreeing with, but I hope it was all of it because we were right, of course. And The Expendables 3 kicks ass. If you haven't seen it yet, see it. It's the best in the series and one of the best action films of the year, if not the best action film of the year. Check it out. What you got in the night spot?
In the night spot is Woody Allen's latest, Magic in the Moonlight. It's Colin Firth, Emma Stone. I thought it was great. It was... reminded me of Shakespearean comedy in a way, just with his way of words and Emma Stone's delivery, and Colin Firth as well was really good, and they just bounced off each other very nicely. That was a good movie.
Nice. Look at you with this distinguished top 10 list so far. I got Expendables and Draft.
Where do we get to the top of the list? It will eat itself.
Oh, yes, yeah. All right. Well, as I continue my downward slide into nihilism, let's talk about number eight for me, which is Spider-Man 2, the much maligned sequel that I thought was one of the better, if not the best, superhero film of the summer. And yes, everyone's going to shit on me because I said that about over Guardians. I really liked Spider-Man 2. But to be fair, I got Guardians on the queue. I'm going to watch it tonight. This could be replaced, but I really did care for Spider-Man 2 quite a bit.
All right. Number seven, who wants to go first?
I'll take this shot here. I went Neighbors on seven. I know you didn't care for Neighbors, but I really like this comedy. This was the year of shitty comedies, and this one to me scored.
That should be on my worst list.
Ugh, how dare you?
Poo-poo comedies this year.
That was like last year when I had The Counselor at the top of my list, and you had it on the top of your list. But mine was on Best Of. Yours was on the worst.
The Counselor's the worst.
That was one of the best movies of last year.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You just destroyed everything you've ever said.
What? The credibility's gone off the window on that? I got plenty of things I could have gotten lost on.
my credibility's next. My number seven is Under the Skin, the very eerie, interesting indie flick where Scarlett Johansson plays an alien who is stealing men's skin.
I've heard nothing but good things about that movie, so I want to see it.
It's very, I will warn people, it's very artistic. This is the only thing.
How dare they?
Maybe a little hard to watch, but I thought very good. Something that stuck with me.
So hold on, let me recount your list here. You got the Zach Braff indie. You got a Woody Allen comedy. We got Under the Skin. Am I missing one here? What was number eight?
Labor Day had the Jason Reitman.
Labor Day, Jason Reitman indie. I swear to God, what are you doing over here?
Don't worry, because it's evenly. No, it's done evenly because this is just me. I mean, wait till we get to the top. Wait till we get to the five
and above. This year. Well, I've seen like 90 movies in the theater. This is I can't get this list. All right, I'm sticking to my guns. Fuck it. It is what it is. All right, for the sixth spot for me, I got The Purge 2, Anarchy. I really was won over by this. I liked the first one to an extent. But the second one bowled me over. I loved how they opened up the world further. I like Frank Galliano, the main actor. I'd like to see more of him in lead roles. And apparently he's coming back to do a third one, which I encourage. I think this is, for franchise potential, there's a lot of possibilities they can do here. To me, with the score and everything, it was very reminiscent of like John Carpenter at his peak. Want to see more of this. Love The Purge.
I still have to see that
one. We had a number... Where you at on six? What do you got, Foxcatcher?
I mean, my number six. No, I have not seen Foxcatcher. I doubt it would. Well, I don't know. I don't think it would make my 10. Number six is Chef, the written and directed Jon Favreau movie. I just fell in love with this movie. Like I said before, it reminded me a lot of a Nora Ephron flick, and it was just, it's easy to watch. You love everyone in it. There isn't a bad person.
All right. Oh, I still got to see that. I have not seen it yet, so I got to get that. But I had got to see it. You assure me it's not about food. I'm not particularly a foodie, so you're like, no, it's not really about
food. It isn't really about food. It's about him. I mean, there's food in it. Obviously, he's a chef, but it's not like... Like I said, like I told you before, it's really
about food.
You can run. It's not really, the journey's not really about food either. He just kind of, the most food it gets, it's like a job for him. Like, it's something that he does. And then, you know, there's food. It's not like about food, though. And like I say, the easiest way for probably you to look at it, and for me, was that it's a direct correlation to the film world. You know, like he goes in and has dealings with the critic and all that stuff. And it's very, he's definitely pulling from his real life.
Okay. Yeah, check it out. I like Favreau, most things he does. All right, in the five spot, what do you got there?
You didn't do six, did you?
Well, I did.
You did first, your six? Yeah. Damn.
I did minus six.
This is going by
six.
Fast.
Flying to the
All right, five. Okay, now we get into the top half. So this is...
the good shit.
This is where it is. My number five is 22 Jump Street, which I just thought was freaking hysterically funny. And I really just... I fell in love with Channing Tatum all over again. And any movie that can do that for me, which is every Channing Tatum movie, let's be honest.
So dreamy. Trevor just admitted a man crush on her. That's good.
Yeah. It was a surprising film, really.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. And the fifth spot for me is 22 Jump Street. So we're lined up on that. So, yeah, sure.
Ooh, we're Tatum really brothers.
Hey, I'm a Jonah Hill kind of girl myself, but,
oh, shit.
I'm a, what do they call him? The Bears? I'm a chubby chaser, I'm a bear.
He'd be a cub, right?
Oh, but yeah. I think you joined the clan. My goodness. So you over there with your little, my little pony t-shirt on or what? What are you doing there? Your pony?
Yeah. What are those guys called?
I don't know. Freaks. I don't know. I probably just alienated a third of our listeners. I think we're big in the My Little Pony world. Moving on to number four for me is one that is equally indefensible, is The Turtles. One of the most surprising movies of the year, because I was all lined up to really dislike this movie because it got thrashed by the critics. I mean, didn't particularly hear all that great things about it. I loved The Turtles. I thought they did this with such care. It looks great. It moves like a bat out of hell. I can't wait to see more. This is how you start a franchise. I cannot wait to see more. What do you got?
Awesome. Well, my number four is comparable. I have Guardians of the Galaxy, which I thought everything you said about the Turtles, just move that on over, and that was Guardians of the Galaxy for me.
All right. So in the third spot, we're already at the top three.
I know. Because we're so agreeable this year. We're just so agreeable.
The third spot for me is The Judge, Robert Downey Jr., Robert Duvall's drama.
I have something to say about this to you. You said that you were going to hate this movie.
I know. I love this movie. I really do. This is a crowd pleaser to me. It really. I wish more people had seen it. I don't know what the problem was. They just.
I really want to see it. I thought the trailer looked great.
It's a lot. I mean, there. It's the last scene to me I could have done without. I wish they would have ended it at a certain point. I didn't need that last sequence on the boat with the father, but I thought it was a little too on the nose. But a lot of this movie was well done. Downey Jr. plays that smartest guy in the room role very well. It's almost like Tony Stark in a suit as opposed to an Iron Man suit, and he's the lawyer. But the realism of a father who's going through this illness and defecating on himself at times, and just certain things that, you know, if you've ever been around somebody who's, you know, been in that state. It was very honest, more so than I was expecting from something I thought was going to be kind of cookie cutter, but well done. Some weirdness in the script. I mean, there is a little odd subplot about a girl who might be his daughter, you know, so the little quirks like that aside, I like The Judge quite a bit.
And you do like to Judge as well. So.
Okay. I like Judge Dredd even.
That as well. Number three, I have Edge of Tomorrow. Tom Cruise movie that I just couldn't get enough of, really. I mean, sci-fi, it felt like a novel. It was smart. It was funny, and it worked in every single way, really. I thought it was kind of like his Jack Reacher in space, if you will, even though it wasn't in space, but you know.
Yeah, I actually have Edge of Tomorrow as my number two pick of the year. So we're on this because I think that this was the surprise of the year to me. I thought this was, especially after Oblivion, I did not really want to see this movie. I'm a Cruise fan, but I thought, like, here we go again with the same stuff. But they handled this with such cleverness, such precision, that you never, it felt smart. It felt like it was moving with you as opposed to you were in front of it.
Precision there.
Seriously, guys? You guys are assholes.
You guys like Edge of Tomorrow? Oh, shit.
I like 22 Jump Street better. But yeah, Edge of Tomorrow to me was the revitalization. You like that? Of Cruise's career. Got it out.
Hey, he took it off cruise control.
Hey, Tommy boy, you're done good. You're done good, kid.
maybe not. I don't know.
So what do you got to do best so well movie in the of the year so far?
No, I didn't even do my number two.
I went to my number two. No, you're not at number two. My bad.
You're taking away my number two. My number two is Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. I'm not going to sing it.
He does whatever a spider can. I loved the Amazing Spider-Man 2. And I mean, you're with me, but I think it's just you and me.
Who's coming with me? It's only fucking us, man. That's it. Me, you, and the goldfish, all right? Am I doing it?
Hey, guys, Amazing Spider-Man 2. I'm the only one that owns it. Is that why it's $100 on Blu-ray? They haven't sold a single one?
Yeah, they sold it to you and me. That's about it. Really, though, I don't know why this is hated on to the point that it is.
Everyone hates this movie. I don't get it, yeah, either. I thought it was very cinematic. I thought it was fun. And even, I mean, to the point of when Gwen Stacy's death finally happens, again, I thought done very cinematically as opposed to what we're normally getting, which maybe that was the problem. But I even was, you know, kind of like, oh, too bad.
Aw, a little Gwen.
Aw. That sucks.
We lost her too soon. No, I like that.
I thought so, yeah.
I would like to see her a little bit further on in the story, but I think
this would have been better as number three, yeah, to be honest with you. But since we're already talking about rebooting it again, the fuck do I know? Yeah. All right, number ones. I got ones all around.
All right. I'll let you do the honors, sir. What's your favorite movie of the year? Okay.
My favorite movie of the year is Expendables 3 because it's fucking awesome and it's so fucking smart. And I just, you know, every time, you know, let's be honest, Stallone makes a lot of shitty movies, but then, you know, everybody does. Schwarzenegger makes shitty movies. Bruce Willis makes shitty movies. But when these guys hit it just right and they're firing on all cylinders, it's fucking awesome. And that's Expendables 3 to me. It was smart. It was funny. It was bold. This is a completely different way to take this franchise, a way that they weren't normally doing in the first two. So, and people didn't go see it. And that was the problem with this, really. And I read the reviews. I read a lot of the reviews. And I got to tell you, reviewers, you suck balls. This is why I read blogs. People who care about the movies that write about them rather than the fucking reviewers, because every review is 90% synopsis of Expendables 3, very dry, and an AARP joke, and then they hated it, and then it's over. Which is the same format for the first movie. I think they just took the first movie, changed the synopsis, and then that was their review for the third one.
I'm really not sure how anybody that likes action films could hate this movie. It's got everything for you in action film.
All right.
So my number one film of 2014 so far, because I have not seen some of the heavy hitters that are coming forth, so this might be changing. But so far, I was really won over by the little indie that I saw recently called St. Vincent, starring Bill Murray. I like this movie a lot, and I didn't expect to like it because I thought, here we go again, Bill Murray doing the same thing. I'm not a Melissa McCarthy fan. The little kid's the newcomer. But this is a nice, well underplayed role for about three quarters of the film, and then when something happens to Murray's character, he never really hits a false note after that and brings it home. It's not a perfect film by any stretch of the imagination, but it was just a nice little surprise, which is the majority of the movies on my list this year are the ones that are surprises. I mean, I had a feeling I'd like Expendables, in Draft Day, even to an extent. But uh-huh. I was surprised with The Purge, you know, Spider-Man, 22 Jump Street, The Judge. I mean, a lot of these movies, Turtles especially.
That's because there's nothing. All the big movies sucked.
Yeah, that's true. Because if you look at the ones that are on my worst of list, things that I normally would like Transformers, Sin City, you know, Godzilla, November Man, these are things that I all went to expecting to like and was vastly disappointed. Just greatly disappointed. All right, what about an honorable mention list? Do you have any for these?
I have none.
Yeah, I got a couple I'd like to throw out.
I don't know.
There.
All Cheerleaders Must Die. That was a straight to video one I saw that I really loved. But
one of the girls in that was the one in Vampire Academy as well.
So, oh, yeah.
She's a good little actress. Honorable mentions. I liked 300 Rise of an Empire. I was kind of surprised that I liked that. I know you didn't care for that. I liked that. I liked A Walk Among the Tombstones quite a bit. That's a movie.
No, I never saw that.
Liam Neeson departure that he did there. And also the Lego Movie, which I thought was very clever, cute, and entertaining.
Yes, the Lego Movie.
So that I would have put that in at 10 if I hadn't had the Expendables on there. But couldn't drop Sly in the group from this. Now, I know you all are saying, hey, guys, how can you see this many movies with your head in your asses? But we do get around to seeing it.
On the 3D glasses, it works. I'm telling you.
Right. Your list was a lot more prestigious than mine this year. Good God.
Well, I have Expendables 3 as my number one movie, and Amazing Spider-Man 2 as my number two movie, and Edge of Tomorrow is my number three, and oh my God, how did you put Guardians of the Galaxy at number four? Yeah, so I'm totally fucked, really.
You know that's the emails you're going to hear about. Like, you just verbalized about a slew of emails that you're going to get. I mean, that's hilarious.
Expendables 3.
With nine question marks, 18 explanation marks. Shit. How could you? I've betrayed at this. And I mean, but someone out there who's a Vampire Academy lover is pissed at me right now. You know, hoping that whoever it is, you were hoping that they were going to franchise that song, bitch. Nope. Okay, well, that's what we did to this year.
That's
so,
the worst.
2014 is an odd year in film. I mean, it really was.
I feel for the little Vampire Academy girl.
You shouldn't. It was a terrible movie. I mean, watch that fucking thing.
I haven't.
I'm telling you, man. Have you?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
Okay. My goodness.
I will watch it.
Don't watch it. Nah, save yourself the time and effort.
I've already seen the other ones. Not the other of that, but the other young adult movies. How can I stop now?
All of them? Have you seen Beautiful Creatures and shit like that?
I did see Beautiful Creatures. That's a bad one.
That's a strange little fucking thing, isn't it? It's like, what is that going on there? That's making no sense.
Yeah, that one's weird. If you want to see a really weird one, what was that? There was
Mortal
one.
Instruments? That was an odd one.
That one
too.
Wasn't very good either. What was the one? It was Harker.
Legend of the Seeker.
No. It wasn't. I don't know. I think it was a book, but it was a young girl. I think it was the girl from Alice in Wonderland. Here, I'll look this up.
Harker?
Harker or something? It's weird as fuck, I'm telling you. I think it was Mia Wasowski was in it. No, Stoker. If you want to see weird, it came out last year. Last year. Well, 2013, last year. But if you want to see a weird movie, that one's fucking odd.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, well, it is.
Well, we have a very eclectic list this year and last year. And if you disagree with us, you're probably right. And if you agree with us, you're probably
just smart.
You're
totes wrong.
So, you're totes, my goat.
Totes don't know what you're talking about if you disagree.
Well, let's take another quick break, and we'll come back.
I don't have a
review.
Break.
No, you don't have a break?
Well,
so
I'll
just
play
sit in silence
I'll
for 30
play
seconds?
This. Yes. I'll play this.
Go to MovieMavericks.com for all your movie needs. It's pretty, like me.
MovieMavericks.com.
Can someone tell me what the hell a movie maverick is?
That was Hercules.
I needed that break. I smoked a cigarette and everything. Is that a 10 or a 15? I don't know.
Was it good for you?
I think I get 2 10s and a lunch, don't I? It was good. Thank you.
That was an Expendables 3 for me. I'm going to start putting things in order of movies I like. If something's good, that's an Expendables 3. And it'll fuck people up because they'll think that I'm saying it's bad. They won't know where I'm at.
You sound like Charlie Day over there. No, I didn't mean like verbally. I just meant like the content.
Hey, guys. All right, reviews.
That's not a bad Charlie Day impersonation, by the way. How'd you do that? You just squeeze your nuts real hard and you did that, or what? What's the trick?
Yeah, I Belvedered myself before the show, so it's easy.
Well, I hope you got a nice bow tie. Speaking of bow tie, The November Man, starring once James Bond. I had it, the 8th worst movie of last year. What did you think of The November Man?
You know, it played. I was like, yeah, you know, this is
it played. You pushed play on the fucking
video
player,
movie. Yeah, it wasn't. I didn't think it was as terrible as you thought, but it's so overcomplicated. You're just like, what the fuck is going
That's
on? There's
the
so many
problem
stupid twists in it that you're just like, why is this even happening? Like, this movie could be way shorter.
Short as it is, and it's still.
It needs to be shorter.
It's uninteresting. It's not.
I don't need to go to one guy. Who did it? He did. Oh. It's like, yeah.
It's like,
who cares?
He's the bad guy. But no, he's a good guy now. But no, he might still be a bad guy. We don't really
but
know.
He just disappears.
Why is Brosnan, what's the whole stuff with the young protege and the neighbor? And then why does he stab the guy's girlfriend? And you're like.
That was the part that I didn't get with the girlfriend when he cuts her leg. You're just thinking. I was like, was he originally like the bad guy and they forgot to like reshoot this or something? Cause it doesn't.
Yeah.
It's a total like hard left turn. You're just like, what the fuck? And then the dude's cool with him afterwards and he helps him out. And you're like, really?
Yeah. What happened to that piece of ash you were getting across the hallway that's in the hospital now? So you're cool with the guy that just fucked her up? I mean, because now you guys are like on the same team against somebody else.
It's
and then
weird.
The last shot on the boat.
It ain't good.
It's like, give me a break. For Roger Donaldson to be behind this, it was terrible. Pierce Brosnan, but when this was going down and this was all coming out, he was on every talk show that would, you know, any opening of an album he was at, talking about, this is a franchise we're going to make here. Da, 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 da. This is fucking terrible. He was talking the difference between Bond and this character. There's nothing Bondian about this. This movie was lucky to make the $25 million it did here. This is wretched material. Maybe it works in a book form, but I mean, people talk shit about Jack Reacher, but at least that hung together as a movie. November Man is terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's overcomplicated. Sorry. Way too many characters, way too much going on.
Yeah.
Give me the lowdown. Give me the lowdown on the interview. A lot of dick and fart jokes. A lot of butthole talking, I heard.
You know, it's a 2 out of 4 because
that's how it is for everybody.
Yeah, the first hour is pretty amusing. I mean, it's not fall down funny, but it's pretty amusing. Mm-hmm. And Franco and Rogan do their little shtick pretty well, kind of their bromance movie going on. They almost play it like a couple who's hot for each other in a lot of ways. And they did that a little bit in Pineapple Express, and it was funny there. And Franco does have nice comedic timing. I got to give him credit on some of his stuff. Rogan is the anchor here in a lot of ways. Kind of like Damian Wayans' son was in Let's Be Cops. No, we can't do that. No, we can't do that. Okay, we will. No, we can't do that. Okay, we will. You know, something like that. But at the same time, it's not a terrible movie, but it goes awfully violent for no reason. And you can almost, when it does those kind of weird, gory, violent shit, you can almost hear like Rogan's laughing off screen. You know, like, I can't believe we got away with that. You know, it's like, what the fuck was that all about? But it's not terrible. It's just not great, and it really would be very minor anything if it hadn't been for this controversy.
Oh,
but
that's what it reminded me of. It reminded me
a
lot
of chuckles.
Pineapple Express.
Yeah, which I think is about on the level of this because they both go off on the deep end at some point or another with the violence, and it wears on you. This is at 112 minutes. This was this is the end I had the same problem with. It just wears on you after a while. This is in smaller doses for me. You know, you don't have to shoot this like it's a real spy movie and like it's Argo. It's a comedy, boys. Let's stick with it. But well done for what it was for the first hour. Then, wow. But hey, $5.99, you can't go wrong there, huh?
Did you?
I did.
You probably didn't. Yeah,
twice before we got in the air.
No. Did you watch the released ending that was on, released
no,
TV,
I never did
on
that.
YouTube? I mean, it's really not much to watch. I was just wondering how different it was from what was actually in the movie.
They don't, it's
well, there was a lot cut from the film because it was very, it was far more violent as far as I read than what was actually released.
It's really, it makes fun of American culture just as much as anything else.
Well, I'm sure these two, look at who's in it. It's two fucking idiots.
It's a whole joke. Yeah, I mean, and of course, I mean, the Skylar character of James Franco is basically Ryan Seacrest, you know, it's, so there's a lot of funny movements there. You know, it's a lot of kind of that, it's what Jed Apatow did with Katherine Heigl's character in Knocked Up, you know, when they make fun of the celebrities and a lot of people on the show. So it starts off with a great energy. It just loses it somewhere halfway through because the movie's 2 hours long. But there are some jokes that really do score in this movie. The problem with the movie, though, in a lot of ways, is that there's no through line. It's just kind of feels episodic. You know, we could do this and this. Much like Spies Like Us, you know, the old Dan Aykroyd, Chevy Chase movie. It's basically an updated version of that in a lot of ways. You know, it's just these bumbling retards going to
Their movies
and foreign country.
Not their movies, but you know, Rogan's movies often feel like that to me. Movies he's specifically behind. When this group gets together, it just you know, This Is the End felt like that. Pineapple Express felt like that. It felt like every step you took was a little bit of a wider, you know, gate, or was a little bit of a bigger step than the one you took before. You know, until pretty soon by the end, you're taking these giant steps, and it's just fucking out of control.
Yeah, that the by this movie ended, you're like, well, how'd we get there? That's my goodness. How did we end up to that point when this started? I had no idea this was going to be we were ending at. But you could see where the outrage could come to from the way that things are portrayed. But there are apparently a lot of accuracies, too. So we'll see if we get nuked here in the next couple weeks. All right, let's do some Trailer Addict here.
All right, guys, it's the Trailer Addict.
Charlie Day on the show. I want to interview
things, giving us insight into the unseen movies of the future. But when they're bad, fire photon torpedoes. Shields up, red alert. Prepare for Trailer Addict.
That was a horrible Charlie Day. I feel bad now.
No, that was Day for Night. The big trailer release. This big trailer release this week is Entourage, the movie.
And, the big one.
You texted me when this dropped, and you asked me if I, you know, what I thought if I had seen it, and I told you I loved it, and you said, yeah, you really liked it too. And I'm relieved that we said that, because this, I thought, was a great trailer. I mean, I don't know if the movie's going to be any good, but as a story for a trailer,
the trailer really works. Pumps it up, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it really doesn't do much. You know, it just, it shows you a couple moments, and it's like, you know, drama. Like, they're all in it. You're like, yeah, the gang's back. All right, I'm sold. It doesn't give you really any clue. Yeah, it feels like Michael Mann shot the fucking thing. I mean, at some point, these guys are going undercover, right? It's just so slick.
It is. It looks great. I mean, the first minute and a half, you know, with the fake teaser, and then the idea that Vince is directing his own blockbuster, it's over budget, Ari's behind it financially. And then from then, it's kind of just a great comedic timing with one-liners. I mean, the second drama drops that line about, you know, screwing your friend's sister.
Yeah.
It just, yeah, from there, you're
knew
okay,
you were home,
you're back
right?
in that world.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And because the timing is still there. You don't know how that's going to play on a big screen for coming from the small screen, but and good idea with the, you know, make it a movie. The progression felt right here. I feel like we got away from some of the darker elements, and I like the fact that they've referenced that Turtles lost a lot of weight, and you know, Wahlberg and his original Entourage crew are back in it, and it just, it felt right at home again. You know, after being burnt out over the last couple seasons,
it felt like the new. It felt like seeing a promo for a new season is what it felt like. You know.
Yeah, I did, but it's a trailer. So it plays very well. So let's hope the movie is as strong as this trailer is. All right, let's move on to talk about the trailer for Focus. Will Smith, Margaret Robbie's.
What are we talking about?
Con man, con woman. Focus.
What is it?
Let's come on. Now,
I can't,
can you hear me?
I can't. Hello? I can't
you focus
seem to get
now?
It. I can't seem to get it.
It. Or you can call it fuck us. But I can.
Ooh, yeah. Well, yeah. Let's see that.
Yeah.
Does that have Shia LaBeouf in it? And Jai Courtney, I'm sure.
Jai Courtney is out to be in everything. Let's just be honest. Do you know what would have been better with Jai Courtney? The Interview.
Everything.
I'm pretty sure he auditioned for the Kimmy Young role.
He's the next Channing Tatum. I'm just going to put it out there right now.
I think only you and his agent say that. But hey, we know this.
All right, let's get back to the Fresh Prince here.
What?
Huh? Focus.
Oh, okay. Coming around.
Fresh Prince.
Yes.
He's in this.
He is in this. This looks great. I like this trailer quite a bit. This trailer, talk about Michael Mann. This looks like something Michael Mann would have done. This looks heavy and slick.
I don't... Yeah. It doesn't look bad. It just looks like... Yeah, I don't know. Is it not serious enough, or is that just me? It feels like it wants to be more serious than it is, but it's very jokey. But it, like you say, it looks like a Michael Mann movie. I don't, it's weird.
I think they're showing you a lot of the lighter scenes or kind of one-liners that Smith is just to try to get that audience in there. I think this is going to be a very dark movie. And they show you that.
Yeah,
kind
I
of
couldn't figure
it
out because it does remind me a lot of the Gambler trailer.
Mm-hmm. Which is very in the same theme as this. Although this looks like it's shot a whole hell of a lot better. I mean, this looks like the contrast and the lights and whatnot. And kind of the
certainly more money spent on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Gambler, they only made for $25 million. And that doesn't have to go to cinematography or not. Mm-hmm. But it looks like the locations are a lot, the world is a lot bigger than the Gambler. But this is the kind of role that Smith excels in typically. So, and Robbie pretty
much it does.
Great talent in Wolf of Wall Street, so we'll see.
Yeah, it does feel a bit like a darker, a much darker version of Hitch, you know, in a way.
Yeah, well, when he's talking and he's kind of like the one that's got a hold of the situation, he's going to like, well, I knew this was the guy, the coolest guy in the room, you know, maybe not the smartest, but the coolest. It did feel like Hitch. And I love him in this kind of shit. So this plays to his strengths as an actor and as a screen presence, but buying that he is gonna, you know, fall in love with it. It's always the, you know, the con artist who's gonna get conned and the double con and things like that. And I think the movie that did this best was Matchstick Men. I mean, that really was the one that pulled the.
Yeah, the problem with these movies is that they don't make a lot of money often.
Right, which is why they need a star like Smith. You know,
which is hard. Why they're showing, but it makes me think maybe I don't know if there's anything you could do to get an audience to go in to see this. It looks too much like
tougher sell than
other shit that hasn't done well, and it really isn't very good. This is probably much better than most stuff, but we've seen a lot of stuff like this be dumped right straight to video.
I'm just glad to see Smith back in a role that's not it's franchise been a while. Ready. Yeah, it really has been a while. He's done well to step away for a minute, and now he's I think I'm ready for his return.
Yeah, I mean dipping the toe back in, you know, with the Men in Black 3 was okay, but ultimately turned out to not be that great.
No, and a cameo in After Earth, and really before that, the last thing he did was in 7 Pounds, and that's just a disaster. So one of the worst movies of the last 10 years. So
that movie was
he's done
bad.
Quality work though for a long time.
But he's given up his pound of flesh, so he's good now.
He's given up everything. I mean, that was a movie that he died by stingray.
Yeah.
Or Electric Eel, I think was it.
Was it electric,
was
yeah.
Oh, it was Electric Eel, wasn't it? In the bathtub.
Got him in the bathtub, but with an electric eel.
You know, the problem with 7 Pounds, strange enough, is that there's one good scene. It's the beginning when he calls Woody Harrelson. Do you remember that scene?
No.
And he like calls him out for being blind, and you're like, my God, this man's an animal.
I don't remember.
Yeah,
well, I'm not going to watch it.
Rightly so.
Yeah, I remember
Alien Outpost.
Alien Outpost. This is a little trailer I stumbled across. I can't really say it's good, but it looks... I mean, these are typical straight-to-video sci-fi alien movie. But somehow this one looks to be a bit of a cut above the rest.
Yeah, this actually looks fairly intriguing for... Is it found footage? Is it quasi found footage, or what's?
I don't think it's found footage. It doesn't look like found footage, but it's basically aliens have attacked. We beat them, drove them out, but they're still around in areas, and so this is about an outpost. But it's our people. I guess it would be their outpost as well, alien outpost. But it's much like things you'd see from Afghanistan or Iraq, mainly Afghanistan. But instead of fighting Afghans, we're fighting aliens. And which they go in and get him.
They call them the heavies instead of the skinnies, you know, the Mogadishus right. and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of Black Hawk Down elements here.
And it feels a bit, you know, District 90 in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
and
even Skyline, Battle Los Angeles, you know, on a lower level.
I'll even throw Epoch out there if anyone. No, just me.
Oh, yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, you're the Epoch man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah, I knew about that.
This movie isn't going to be a world beater. It's not going to break any box office or VOD on demand records, but it does look like it has decent special effects for what it is. And it's got a cast of unknowns, but the way that they shot this almost looks like the way that Schumacher shot Tigerland with that documentary style. At least it doesn't look like found footage per se, but it does look like
it does look a little documentary, voyeuristic. Yeah, a little run and gun and roughly shot, but it works with when you're in the trenches and it looks, like I say, it looks like footage from Afghanistan is really what it looks like.
I still think the best version of this movie is Starship Troopers. That's the best running around in the desert or whatever, shooting at aliens is my absolute favorite. Love that flick. All right, well, that's going to wrap up episode 259 tonight. Thank you for joining us on our year-end 2000.
You're going to wrap it up? I thought we were always unwrapped.
Oh, my God. Wrap that rascal, will you? Starting to get bumps. Well, boys and girls, that's going to do it for 2014 and a long year at the movies. There we had our list of best and worst. See if you agree with us. Check out our Facebook page. Check out MovieMavericks.com or go to Box Office Ace, or I should say, and go to Box Office Ace. Join in the prediction game. Speaking for Trevor Anderson, I'm Jason Rugard, and once again, we are the Movie Mavericks.
My bad.
Oh my, another magnificent episode has come to an end. If you're craving more, set your destination to MovieMavericks.com, Warp 9. Engage!
Never listening to this podcast again. Guardians of the Galaxy number 4. Blah.